When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
Today on The Grave Talks, part two of Haunted Lake Tomahawk with author Mark Palbicki. One thing that you do in the book is, you know, you talk about all the ghost stories and, you know, the different people from around town have, and then you go ghost hunting. And so you actually investigate these places and you go into really great detail on your investigations. And, you know, as far as who was there, what evidence, the equipment you had, what was one of the places that you investigated, like you talked about the American Legion, you've got that in here. What was a place that you investigated that you really, when you left, you did feel like you'd experienced something?
The final investigation I had, I didn't know that that was going to be the end of it, was the Village Cafe again. The first time we were there, we had experienced some stuff. But the second time, you know, we had a little bit more experience. And my team, I call it Fulcrum because half my team were skeptics and the other half were kind of true believers. I would bring Rod Umwoff in. He's a Franciscan friar and he's also a Catholic deacon. So he would give us prayers of protection and stuff so nothing would follow us home. But it definitely was a Village Cafe. And it doesn't have to be at night. That activity can happen at any time, any place. We were there within 5 minutes, not even. Time we got our equipment set up, things were already happening at the Village Cafe. By the time we figured something out, it was later on the way home, but we had one of them Kinect cameras where they connect the dots, kind of make it like stick people out of them. Uh-huh. We were getting these stick figures, and all of a sudden we were interacting with them. Jeff Brown, it wasn't only me that sensing and picking up on stuff. Jeff said that something opened in his brain where he was, like they were trying to connect with him as well. And we have this on film where I have Donna next to me, and Jeff calls her name out. And she disappears. And later on, they're in the basement, he calls out Buckskin's name, and it disappears. So and there was another entity behind the bar, which I figure it was Jimmy. It was Happy Days Tavern is right next door. Actually, they were connected, but they walled the the door off in between them, the two businesses. If I had known that, we got him on a thermal imaging device where you can make out the form of a body. And it wasn't until later on, I was with the filmmaker Tom Catani. We were driving back home. He told me the incident, what happened with Buckskin in the basement where he disappeared in that Kinect camera, which I wasn't aware of. I was aware of what happened upstairs with Donna. I would have made that connection that, maybe we're onto something that maybe science can bite into for once. So I don't know.
I think it's interesting, too, because you knew Donna, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and Buckskin. And Jimmy.
Yeah, and Jimmy. Yeah,
and so it's
basically
interesting.
That's what this book is.
Yeah.
These three ghosts.
Yeah, so it's interesting that I would think, you know, once they've crossed over, I'm not sure what happens. But I would think as friends, and you're going into her restaurant, which was a place she loved, that I could see her reaching out to you. I could see her being there. And yeah, it makes sense why your son's finding dimes.
Yeah. I think that was her. I think Buckskin was there that night, and I think Jimmy was there that night.
And Buckskin is an interesting story, too, because he's kind of an eccentric guy. And in the book, you talk about meeting him and going to his property, which was kind of interesting. lives a very different life. I'll let you describe that. Very different life than I do. But then at some point, you felt like Buckskin followed you home.
I learned that you get a gut instinct. And I learned in life to follow your gut. Yes, I think it was him. I want to do a little backdrop on I call him Bucky. That was a nickname for him. He was the last of a dying breed. He lived on land, 7 acres of land off the Wisconsin River. No running water, no electricity. He's hard to describe. He was just one of a kind. And once I got to know him, people were actually fearful of him. Because if they didn't know him, you know, he was a vagrant and stuff. But I found that he was a very intelligent person. And the more I got to know him, the more I realized how smart the guy really was. So anyways, we get home. And I would go out there on Halloween after he passed away. His son purchased the land, and he lives out in Arizona. I got a hold of him. I said, hey, can I go out there and do an investigation? He said, yeah, go ahead. So we're out there, and I'm there with Rod, and we had some activity. But the real fun started when I got home. You know, I was tired from the drive, so I had Donna. I said, you could put on a pot of coffee for me. And we're coffee drinkers, so she goes, sure. So she put it on, and I'm like, the coffee should be done by now. And it's like the machine was unplugged, and because she swore that the LED light was on and it was brewing. And so, you know, we laughed about it. The very next day, I got up in the morning and I make a cup of coffee. And at the time, her master bedroom was upstairs, so you can smell the aroma so you know when it's done. And Donna said, where's that coffee? It should be done by now. So I go downstairs and the coffee pot is unplugged again. So I was like, okay, that's twice in a row. That's okay. Maybe the cat unplugged it. I don't know.
I will interrupt here because that made me laugh because I also have a cat named Izzy. And I'm always saying that anything that's weird or out of place, like the other night I have a floor lamp in my living room that was knocked over and it's laying on my sofa. I don't know how the cats did it, but everything is blamed on Izzy because he's very active. And so it made me laugh because it's like, well, maybe Izzy unplugged the coffee maker, which really doesn't make sense once you think that through. It'd be hard
it was
for a
possible.
Cat.
Now she couldn't have done it. Yeah. We have it on a pigtail. In order to unplug it, you got to grab that pigtail and physically pull it. So day three, the coffee pot. And well, after the second day, we were kind of blaming each other, thinking we're messing with each other. But the third day, it happened again. So now we're kind of like, okay, something's going on. So we go to the grocery store and we're walking down the aisle and I'm looking at, there's like to the right, there's some beer. And so I'm kind of looking at the beer and on the left, there is the bread. And all of a sudden, a loaf of bread goes flying off the shelf. It didn't fall off the shelf. It flew a good 6-7 feet like somebody had passed it. And Donna froze solid. I kept walking and I turn around and look and she's like, Mark, and she's like pointing. So I go, I look and there's a loaf of bread. I said, what, did you drop that? She goes, no, it flew off the shelf by itself. So at that time, I screamed all out. I said, Bucky, knock it off. You're scaring her. And after that, that was the end of it. He didn't bother us until a little bit later. I was with Buckskin's son. We're at the Village Cafe having a fish fry on a Friday. And Donna calls me. And she says, Mark, you're not going to believe what just happened. I says, what? She goes, the coffee pot unplugged itself again. And I said, you're never going to guess who I'm having supper with. I says, Buckskin's son. So it was.
Wow.
Kind of, yeah, I don't know if it's connected or not, you know.
But at the same time, it happened 3 times and you attributed it to him. And then when it happens the fourth time, you happen to be with his son.
With his son, yes.
And it's almost, that to me almost seems like just a confirmation.
More than coincidental.
Yeah. And there's one more story I want to talk to you about. And it's sad, but it's beautiful at the same time because you lost your mother. And I kind of want to talk to you about the video that you took, or you didn't take. It was just security video in her garage. But I wanted you to tell that story, if you don't mind.
It was, my mom was 93 years old, and she had Alzheimer's, dementia, where she didn't know who I was half the time, except we had her in home hospice, and it was her last day. They had given her her last rites. And I was over by her, and her mouth was drying out. I was swabbing it with water just to keep her comfortable. And it was just probably a few hours before she passed. I was talking to her and told her to be brave and that, it was going to be all right. I said, say hi to Dad for me. Uncle Teddy, Auntie Hattie, you know, the whole gang that had passed before. I said, just be brave, you're going to be okay. I said, but Mom, can you give me a sign? Let me know that you're okay, that you made it to the other side. And at that time, she clamped down on that swab with her teeth, which signaled to me that she heard me and she understood. Mm-hmm. So it was 3 days later, I got a call from my sister, Marcia. And she was kind of frantic. She's like, you gotta see this. You gotta see this. So I went over to my mom's condo, which we were taking care of the estate now at the time. And she showed me the video. And the first thing that jumps in my head was, oh, this man looks like a couple people dancing. This went on for an hour and 20 minutes. I have 2 videos posted on Facebook, I think. One was the beginning where they had the pixelation, where it looks like to me there's 2 people dancing. They kind of pixelized.
And in places, too, it looks like 2 orbs moving together. But it does look like dancing. It goes
to 4 orbs when it comes out of the wall.
Yeah.
There's 4 of them, and they're synchronized. But then they start changing shapes and sizes. So they get to the pixelation, and I think in my heart of hearts, I think it was like my dad was dancing with the sister-in-law, my Auntie Hattie, and my Uncle Teddy was dancing with my mom. And at that pixelation is when they handed off, Mom and Dad finally got their reunion dance.
Oh,
and that was the handoff.
That's really beautiful.
If you look on top, you can kind of see the orbs have taken shapes, and they're different shapes. My mom wore her hair like that when she was younger. And then when they do the side view, my dad was much taller than my mom. And I kind of outlined it where you can kind of see it. And I know I was too close to it, but then I had some issues with my sisters And my one sister in particular, she didn't want me to share this with anybody. She thought it was families and it was personal. And I said, I asked Mom for a sign or a signal. She gave me it. So I said, I have to share this with the world.
Were they just looking at the footage in the garage? It's just a basic security camera set up in the garage like everybody has.
The alarm went off. They thought that there was an intruder. My brother-in-law went over and looked through the window. You know, sadly enough, this day and age, people look at the obituaries to see when the funeral is so they know the person ain't going to be home. It happens way too often in this society.
Oh, it does.
But
yeah.
That's what we thought, that somebody had broken in. So my brother-in-law went over there. He's looking in the garage. Says it's pitch black in there. So everything was picked up on infrared cameras.
Before I even saw you refer to it as dancing, because when I got to that part in the book, I just pulled it up on YouTube, and that's where I watched it. And I thought, it's almost like these orbs are dancing. And then when I continued reading, you said that same thing. Because they're so synchronized, it's like a dance.
I had my team view the video, and each of them gave their thoughts on it. I didn't try to sway them one way or the other, and I did it individually. So there was no talking back and forth. And Rod Umloff, the Franciscan friar, he said the same thing. He said that you were dancing. I said, that's exactly what I saw. Of course, the skeptics thought, you know, it was a reflection, this and that. And finally, we got in there, and Scott Mortier was with me. He's the biggest skeptic I have on the team, and he couldn't debunk it. So we did the moon phases, what the weather was doing, what the wind was doing, what traffic was doing, and we came up blank. He said, well, it's a glitch. Okay, what causes the glitch?
And what made it start then? If it's a glitch, everything was fine. There was no alerts, alarms before then. And then after that, you know, so what caused it for that amount of time in between?
I don't.
I think it's your mom and dad.
Yeah, I don't have the answer for you. All I know that it went off, that they detected motion inside the garage. So you can take it from there. I don't know.
I don't either, but I thought it was beautiful. And you can see it just, I went to YouTube and just search Haunted Lake Tomahawk, and you can find it super easy that way. And then also you have a Facebook page, Haunted Lake Tomahawk, as well. And is it there?
I believe it is.
Well, you can find it one place or the other, but check it out. Because to me, it was one of the most compelling orb videos I've ever seen. Because what you normally see is an orb that it might cross across, you know, kind of cross the frame of the camera. Maybe it kind of floats around a little bit. You might get a minute of it on there, and then that's that. This goes on.
Up to that point, orbs to me were a speck of dust or a bug or a dewdrop or something, spider web. This kind of changed my way of thinking.
And an orb can be all of the things you just said. Those things can also create something that looks like an orb. You know, if you've got your outdoor security camera and bugs fly in front of it, sometimes it can look like an orb.
Yeah.
You know, so you do have to debunk that. I just think it's interesting. When it's inside, you could still have bugs fly around, but they wouldn't be flying like that. That's the interesting part, because it was, you know, it was synchronized almost, you know, like we're saying, it's like dancing.
In life, my mom and dad had won some dance contests, and they loved to dance, and like at a wedding especially and stuff like that, they were dancers, so.
Well, the book is Haunted Lake Tomahawk, and you could get this. Where's the easiest place to pick it up besides driving to Lake Tomahawk, which would be fun after reading this book? I would like to kind of meet some of these people you talk about.
Okay, well, Amazon will have it, Barnes & Noble, Walmart on the internet. It's
so pretty
there,
much wherever books are sold.
Yeah.
And I do want to say thank you. There was a little nod to Real Ghost Stories Online, our other show in the book. So thank you for mentioning us.
Oh, you're welcome. Before you leave, I would like to mention, can I mention Slow's Pub?
Yes.
It's Greg and Sue Slominski. Okay, I'm Big Arbivite Lake there. And I'd like to give a shout out to Ben Burnell. He's at the Hodeg store in Rylander, and he's carrying my book as well.
And the Slows, that's a pretty haunted location too.
Oh, yeah. That basement was crazy. There, again, there was two or three different people that had witnessed activity going on. There was even where Sue had thought that these are my words, that succubus had taken over her body at one time. Because here again, in the history of the building, at one time it was a brothel. And the door would keep open and closing. This was just after they had purchased the place, and Greg was still working down in Germantown, and Sue was up here, and she would get nervous. But it was like something would take her over. Her and Greg would have a lot of fun, put it that way.
And the bartender also had quite a few experiences.
Yes, Kyle Hunter. Like we sat at the table where he would see the reflections in the glass of an old guy with a long beard, old overalls or coveralls that were maybe from the 40s, but he would only see half the body. But then again, he's seen another half of a body down in the basement walking by the stairway that the top half was missing.
But they were dressed totally differently, so it wasn't like it was the same person.
Right.
I don't know if I could bartend there. At a point, that might be too much.
I don't think that activity happens all the time. And then another thing I was going to mention about investigation, there's always an emotional energy that's present because you're excited about it. And I think that you can feed off of that energy.
I do too. I think, you know, if you're afraid, they can feed off of that. If you're overexcited, you know, all of that. I think I absolutely agree with you. Which is why I just choose to talk about the paranormal rather than being too hands-on. I thank you for your time today. And pick up the book. It's a great read. It is a great read. But thank you so much, Mark. Tell your wife, Dawn, I said hi.
Okay, before you leave, I have to do this.
Okay.
That's one of Tony's bunk bed bells from back in the day. He even signed it.
Oh, that guy. Well, and I've got one of those bunk bed bells, too. I just don't know where it is. That's funny that you've got that still. That wraps up our conversation with Mark Palbicki about his book, Haunted Lake Tomahawk. You can get the book on Amazon or wherever books are sold. You can also visit his Facebook page and YouTube channel. Just search Haunted Lake Tomahawk. To see the video of the orbs we discussed in this episode, click on the link in the show notes. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advanced episodes, everything commercial free, you can become a Gravekeeper. You can sign up on Apple Podcasts. You can also sign up on patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.